you have your Bible, I'd like for you to join me in John chapter 15, the last of our three sermons together with the different churches. And as you go through Scripture, and we'll talk this morning about abiding in the world or abiding in Christ as you're in the world. You know, as you go along, things just don't come and go. And so as you get to John chapter 15, and we talk about, you know, this abide 21, and we talk about abide equals remain, and we talked about last week loving one another, it's almost like you can come to where we're going to talk this morning, and if you haven't really set any type of foundation of where we're going to go, then this morning is really about you doing something. And really, this morning has nothing to do with you doing anything except surrender. I was reading my devotions this week, and we're talking about a king. And I don't really ever have never lived under a king. I don't know what that would be like to live in a nation where there was a king. And then as I was reading along in my devotions, they were challenging us that really, basically, all of us want to become our own king. And we want to be in charge, and we want our way. And as I kept on reading in my devotions, at the end of it, it said, will you allow Jesus to be your king? And obviously, if you're in church, you would say, yeah, the church answers, absolutely, preacher, no problem. Be more than happy for Jesus to be king, in theory. But will you allow him to be your king? Will you set aside your wants, your desires, your ambitions, your hurts, your anger, your frustration, where you go to find your value and say, you know what, Father? It's not about me. It's about me stopping and say, wait a minute, I'm not in charge of this life. I'm not running the show. I'm not driving the car. I surrender. I want you to be my king. So this morning, as you go along, and we've talked about encouraging you to cling to Jesus, and we've talked about endurance, we've talked about bearing fruit, and we've talked about loving one another with a sacrificial love, as we've been reminded that we've been chosen by God, we've been reminded to be a fruit in a world that we will last. Now here's where it gets interesting. Abiding in the world, as Christians, you need to expect hatred and persecution. So if you have your Bible, go to John chapter 15 and pick it up in verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I have spoken to you. Your servant is greater. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Drop down to verse 26. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. All of this I have told you so that you will not go astray. You will be put out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did tell you this at first because I didn't tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. So this morning we have some verses in front of us that if we're honest, most of us probably haven't really thought about in our relationship with Jesus. If we're honest, most of us haven't thought much past the verses that we've already talked about in John. And we're living in a society where most of the American Christians have not thought their way past John 3:16. And now you get some words that are coming to you that if you're going to be this person that is going to abide in Jesus, then the world is going to persecute you. The world's going to hate you. The world is going to push you off to the side and say, you know what? You're not worth anything. And even it's going to get to a point, and I'm not saying at this point we are here in America, but there are places around the world that they're just going to wipe out a Christian and call it an act of worship to their God. Do we see that today? Yeah. There are people that are just like you, call themselves Christians, but they're not sitting in a pew this morning. They're not enjoying air conditioning. They probably didn't have a very good breakfast. And all they would have to do is say, you know what? We don't love Jesus anymore. And they could get up out of their prison cell and go their way. But they choose not to. And I ask myself, what makes them different? I believe what makes them different is they truly do abide in Jesus. That Jesus truly is their King. Oh, it's fascinating. We can go to church and we kind of have this game. It's like when we walk in the door, everything that has happened this week, we just kind of put on our goody two-shoe shoes and we just kind of walk in and say, yep, I'm here, it's church, I'm a Christian. And it's like we have this intellectual understanding of, yeah, well, you know, I do. And if I would bring a microphone, we could ask you, oh, yeah, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And it's all a thought process. And so now as you get to this chunk of scripture, as you think about abiding in the world as Christians, you're going to expect hatred. But you mean people aren't going to like you? Yeah. So now you're going to have to ask yourself, do you really love Jesus? Or is it just the Sunday school thing? And it's fascinating to me. And it's not an age thing. You know, people can be 75 or 80 years young, and they still have the intellectual knowledge of a five-year-old. Their faith hasn't grown. Their relationship with Christ hasn't grown. Oh, the outside looks different and looks more mature, but the inside is still the five-year-old. They're not saying to Jesus, hey, I really could use some help today. One of our mornings that we were here for the Abide is there are some children here. A lot of the mornings there were children here. And some of the most precious times was listening to the simple faith of a child. Oh, they have no concept of what's going on around them. But they'll just make a statement. You know what's fascinating about a child? They believe the statement. We can wax eloquent for 35 minutes and we don't have the faith of a five-year-old. Oh, we got big words and it sounds wonderful. But a little five-year-old says, Jesus loves me. And they believe it's true. Jesus, forgive me. And it happens in their mind. So as we've gathered today around a passage of Scripture, you read a word called hate. Dislike strongly. Maybe one of the encouraging words as you read verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me, Jesus, first. So in reality, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do if Jesus is truly your Father. If you truly have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you truly have a hunger to hear His voice, read His word, and listen for Him. There's a lot of people that think they're Christians, but have no hunger for this book. There's a lot of people that call themselves believers, but it's been years since they came to their Father and said, "You know what, Father? I'm wrong. And so this morning, as we've gathered around Scripture and we talk about abiding and we talk about this word Christian, and we say these words really kind of like they're coined, and so let's be very clear about what we mean. We mean that you've said yes to the cross. We mean that you said you recognized that you were a sinner and your life was going in a different direction. And you stopped your world and said, "Hold on a second. I've got a problem. I know you all have issues. But you said, no, wait a minute. I got a problem and it deals with sin." And you said, the words can be phrased in a lot of different ways. Children just believe. And you can word it however you want for a child. So the words aren't huge. Raising a hand isn't huge. Walking an aisle isn't huge. Getting baptized isn't huge. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Where you said, "I believe this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and Him alone." Have you placed your faith in Him? Have you accepted the free gift from Him? And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's not just wordage. There's verbs that go along with it. Because the last time I read my Bible, it said, "I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for retirement." Created in Christ Jesus to please myself. Created in Christ Jesus to be happy. No. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. For Him and I to be communicating and say, "Hey, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Where does He want you to go? What question does He want you to ask?" I had no idea on Wednesday night that there was any difference in Shayla's life. But there was something that said, "Hey, she's different." Well, I realized that. She's talking to me for the first time in 3 years. And she's got a smile in her voice and on her face. Listen for that still small voice. It's probably your Father, and He wants to say some things to you. So as you're listening for that still small voice, He's saying to you today very clearly, His words to you are, the world will hate you. You know what's interesting? As I think about that, and I think about the world that is going to hate us, there's a little word in verse 19. There's two letters. If. Huh. If what? He's saying to us the world's going to hate us. If what? If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. Stop. Don't read any farther. Who do you belong to? You need to be serious about this. Jesus is saying to you this morning, through a book called John, if you belong to the world will love you. So if the world loves you, you don't belong to Jesus. You get that? Are we clear there? Now, obviously, because you know me, I'm not asking you to go around and wear a shirt that tells people you're on your way to hell. Because nobody's going to walk up to you and high-five you and say, thank you very much, I really appreciate your words. And I'm not asking you to walk around and be a goody-two-shoes like you're living in the clouds and you have no issues because you're a fake. Just be honest. We're all broken. We're all needy. We all have issues. Thank you, Adam and Eve. So just admit it. It's normal. What's not normal is to look at this world and say, you know what? I don't belong here. Is this really your home? I mean, I know Highlands County is awesome. There's lakes here. There's bass fishing here. We even have Walmart. We even have a new Publix. And by the way, they didn't build it for you. They built it to make more money. As much as we like walking in thinking, man, this is my Publix. This is awesome. Yeah, we've been paying for it for how many years? Oh, you might love to play golf. For those of you that love to shop, I don't know where you're going to go. You're living at Walmart. You're living in an incredible area if you love garage sales. There's one about every weekend. What's fascinating to me is that people go buy somebody else's junk that they don't want. And then even what's more fascinating to me is people want to negotiate prices on junk. $2, I'll give you a dollar. Where's Elton? Oh, there he is. Elton's one of the best negotiators I've ever met. You don't want to pay full price for anything. And some of you are garage sale professionals. I watch. And I go by garage sales, I see your vehicles. I'm thinking, what does that person need at that garage sale? And I know it's not a waste of time. It's your stress relief or whatever. I don't know. But think about it, really, as a family. Think about it. What is this world offering? You give me one thing that's not perishable in this world. You give me one thing that can truly provide joy deep down inside. One thing from this world that's consistent for 30, 40, 50, eternity. And so as you think about this, I guess my question to you is, where's your mailing box? What's your address book? Where are you? Where do you belong? And I realize there's something inside of us that we just like life to be calm and no conflict. I got that. But if you are loved by the world, if you belong to this world, you do not belong to Jesus. If the world is coming to you and say, hey, we need some input from you. I was listening to a story that was told the other night of an individual was sitting down with another individual and just mentioned the word Jesus. And the individual got up and started to kind of walk away. And then they didn't leave, but they started talking again, so the individual came back. Jesus came out again. Individual moved away. Didn't want to talk about Jesus. Didn't want to talk about hope. Didn't want to talk about eternal life. Didn't want to talk about a heavenly father. Didn't want to talk about Savior. Just mentioned it. Jesus. How many times have you said Jesus this week? How many times have you said Facebook, cell phone, news, sports, weather? Again, I'm not asking you, please hear me clearly. I'm not asking you to be a goody two-shoes. How many times have you said, Jesus, would you help me? Jesus, I don't want to belong to this world. I don't want the characteristics of this world. I don't want to look like this world. I don't want to look like. And there's a battle in my soul as well as your soul. The world looks inviting. It looks fun. It looks like it's all going to be okay. But it's not. How do I know that? I put a word up here called air. And I was reminded a while back by an individual that just made a comment to me that Satan was the prince and the power of the air. Now, if you would have told me that 35 years ago, I would have kind of laughed at you, thinking back in those days, there was no laptop computers, there was no cellular devices, there was nothing called Wi-Fi. There was nothing called a phone that I could FaceTime something. There's my daughter. How did my daughter get in this device, and I can actually see her, and she's in New York enjoying the snow, and I can see her? How not? That just doesn't make any sense. How does it fly through the air and give me an image on my screen? I still don't understand how it works. But I know this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he did not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation and keep your views on them. That's what the world lives. A verse that you know well, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is a spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed by the pattern of this, what? World. Do not allow the world to tell you what is right and wrong. Because what I also read, if you have your Bible, go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in all your transgressions and sins. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of your sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were objects of wrath. Like the rest, we were objects of wrath. We should be individuals that we are aware of what's going on in the air, and we should be aware that we belong to somebody. Somebody that was willing to die on the cross. Doesn't make life any easier. Doesn't make sin go away. But when sin comes, we can say, hold on a second. There's somebody that is greater that is in me than he who is in the world. I don't need this. We were talking this morning about Abide 21. and some individuals what they have decided that they were going to fast. And one of those individuals just so happens to attend Tuesday night Bible study, and just so happens on Tuesday night they have banana pudding. I hear it's quite good. And so for 3 weeks, instead of eating banana pudding, have to say no to banana pudding. Some of you have given up sweets. One individual that we would meet here would come through, and this individual gave up coffee. So every time he would walk in, I would, for the first day or two, I'd make a comment about coffee. And then he said, "I just want you to know, I am fasting coffee." I never said another word to that individual. Because sometimes those fasts are very, very difficult. Give up something that you've been giving yourself for 20 years and see if it's easy. You tell yourself no. When these desires come up on the inside, as Paul's talking to them about the church of Ephesus, and he says to them, hey, that's what you were. That's what you used to hunger for. That's where you belonged. You don't belong there anymore. Why? Because Christ is living inside of us. There's something different on the inside. Maybe another way that you could say that is the wanter on the inside has changed. There's a new want, a new desire, a new passion. Doesn't mean that you're going to get it perfect. Anybody not sin this week? Anybody not sin on the way to church this morning? No, we're all sinners. But we have this Father that we can come back to and say, okay, Father, I am wrong. It's me again for the 3,335th millionth time. It's me. I did it again. Would you help me? Yeah, I help you. I'm here for you. Because I'm your dad. And I love you. And I was willing to send my son to die on the cross for you. So I'll forgive you today. Keep on going, boy. It's going to be okay. Because I'll make sure you get home. And when you take your last breath, I'll be there. Keep walking. Keep struggling. I guess I'm saying all this. Are you struggling with sin? Does it really bother you? Or is it like, you know what, it's no big deal. It should bother us. There should be something inside of us saying, hey, that wasn't right. And saying that, if you go back to John chapter 15, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But here we go again. But I have chosen you out of the world. I mean, just grasp that. How many of you have had individuals come in your life and say, you know what, you're not going to make it. You're too young. How many of you have had naysayers? We all have. Let him talk, because he's our Father. We don't need you. We got him. He chose us. He rescued us. We were sinking. He said, no, hold on a second. That one belongs to me. I'm calling them out of the world. I don't want them to live that way. I don't want them to be stuck there. I want to rescue them. And as we think about, I've been chosen out of the world, and that's why the world hates us, most of us love to talk about, you know what? We've been rescued. God loves us. He's called us out to what? To suffer. He called you out to be a light where people won't like you. He didn't call you out to go sit on the beach for the rest of your life. He called you out into a war. He called you out into a battle. He called you out so that you would have the opportunity to be a light in the darkness. That's why he called you out. He called you out to suffer. So that when you would get squeezed, people around you would say, you know what? There's something different. Why aren't they mad? Why aren't they upset? Why aren't they yelling at everybody? What's wrong with them? That's what the world does. So when we get squeezed, what do people see? There are times when we're going to get squeezed and they ain't going to see Jesus. One of the things that I like to do is play softball Tuesday nights. And I don't really care who we play. I don't really care a whole lot if we win or lose. There's just one field that I don't want to be on. Because there's one umpire that pushes my buttons. And when I see we walk into that field, I'm just like, oh, no. Here we go again. And I'm just like, you know, why? It bothers me when I get squeezed there. It's like, and I think the Lord's sitting up there just smiling because he knows. He knows I'm going to that field. And it's amazing how many times we get stuck on that field. Of all the fields, how come there? Come on. I don't want to be on that field. I want to be out here and enjoy the game. This person doesn't know what a ball and strike is. And then they'll decide one, and then they don't know the next time you're up to bat. And I'm just thinking, this is the way the game works. It goes across at a certain pitch. If it lands kind of behind the plate, can't hit the plate, behind the plate, not too high, not too low, not too flat. There's such a thing called a flat pitch in softball. I don't know if you know that or not. If a pitch is too flat, the guy's just supposed to say no pitch. Flat pitch, strike. I don't have a golf club, sir. I need a sand wedge to hit that ball. And then it'll come in real high. Strike. How do you want me to hit that pitch? You want me to jump in the air? Swing my bat? And then there's always the third one. Strike three. I'll go back to the dugout, but I really want to give that guy a piece of my mind. So if I'm going to be honest with you, you need to be honest with yourself. And when I don't, when it happens, when we get squeezed and the Jesus doesn't come out, let's go home and fall on our face. Say, Father, we're sorry. Because you've called me to suffer. And softball's a terrible illustration of suffering. Father, you've caused my brothers or my sisters or my neighbors not to like me for 35 years. That's suffering. Father, you've asked me to walk with this disease. That's suffering. So as we've been reminded this morning, and if you want just for your note's sake, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, we've been called to suffer. Trust Jesus' word in a hostile world. If you look at verse 20, remember the words I've spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teachings, they will obey also yours. remember these words. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1. As we live in this hostile world, as we've been called to suffer, as we have been given the privilege to be a light to this world, I remind you of this. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang the song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his armory, he hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Who's the warrior? Jesus. Remember those words as you suffer. Take your Bible and go with me to Psalm chapter 18 in verse 2. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. Remember these words. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverance. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is the shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Remember those words. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. First John 4:4. And you, dear children, are from God and overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Remember those words. Wow, we're out of time. All right, go. The last one I want you to see. Go back to chapter 15 of John. Drop down to verse 26. By the Spirit's power, we can testify to the truth. When the Counselor comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. I wanted you to see this, to be reminded this morning, as you think about the word Counselor, you need to think about helper, encourager, encouragement, the one who stands alongside of you. Who is that individual? It's the Spirit of truth. Who is the Spirit of truth? The teacher, the counselor, the helper, the life giver, hope, forgiveness, the healer, power, companion, and comfort. So this morning, there's three sentences. As Christians expect hatred and persecution, trust Jesus' word in a hostile world, by the Spirit's power, testify to the truth. I realize you live in Highlands County. I'm not sure that we realize how many people are not in church today. My guess is about 80,000 people are not in church in Highlands County. What does that mean? That means there are 80,000 people walking around who do not know my Father, that do not have hope, and that are being tempted by the lies of this world. 80,000 people do not have forgiveness of sins. That's huge. So would you pray with me that God would allow us to be a light in the dark world? That when we are squeezed, when we are asked to suffer by our Father, that we would beg our Father for strength so that the stuff that we don't want to come out, but the Holy Spirit stuff would come out. That our lives would be different. Why don't you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for our time to be together. Thank you for your word. So, Father, as we've gathered as a family, I don't know if there's 1, 2, 10, 15. I don't know who in this room doesn't know you as Father. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Father, if the wonder inside of you has never changed, he's probably not your Father. If you're not being hated by this world, he's probably not your Father. So maybe you need to stop and say, you know what, Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day that I accept the free gift. Today's the day that I say yes to your forgiveness of my sin. Today is my salvation day. Today is the day that I put my trust in your provision, and my response will be, I believe. Father, I need your grace. The only way that I can receive your grace is by faith. If you're here this morning, is there anyone saying, you know what, Pastor Todd, that's me this morning. I'm saying yes to Jesus. For the first time, I'm asking for forgiveness of my sin. Just put your hand in the air if that's you. Okay, Father, we say that we belong to you. So, Father, you light a fire in our soul through the power of your Holy Spirit, and you send us out as warriors to a lost, broken world. Keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, as the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. May it all be about you, Jesus, as we live our lives on this world that is past. Radically change us, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.